This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here to give us some insight to today's tie between the Vikings and the Packers is Chad Graff. He covers them for The Athletic. And when I say they, I mean the Minnesota Vikings. Chad, Jody Mack here on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing?
Doing all right. Just driving west on my way from Green Bay back to Minnesota. What a game that was.
It was, in some ways, tremendously exciting, in other ways, tremendously frustrating, depending on your point of view. I mentioned the ties have been known as, for a long time in sports, as kissing your sister. Well, I don't know about you, but there's, like, not good kissing your sister, and then there's just flat-out wrong kissing your sister. There's not really a good thing about kissing your sister. How do you look at this Minnesota tie from a Viking perspective? Is it a bad thing? Can you justify in any way, make it a good thing? How do you come out of it if you're a Viking fan feeling about today's tie against Green Bay?
I mean, it's never a bad thing to go to Lambeau Field, play against Aaron Rodgers, and not lose. So on the one hand, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But this was a game that should have been Kirk Cousins' signature game. You know, the $84 million that the Vikings chose to play quarterback for them over Case Keenum, over Sam Bradford, the former Washington starter who left in the middle of his prime to go join the Vikings and to be what, you know, he and the team thought was going to be the missing piece from a Super Bowl. He goes out there and in his debut in this Packers-Vikings rivalry, in his first game with the Vikings at Lambeau Field, he marches them down, ties the game, throws for 425 yards, four touchdowns, twice in overtime, puts them into field goal range, and the rookie kicker that the Vikings drafted in the fifth round, higher than anybody else, missed both of them, already missed one in the first half, goes 0-for-3 on the day. The last one was a 35-yarder. He had gone to Mike Zimmer, the Vikings head coach, and said, hey, if you can get us the ball in the middle of the field, that's where I like to kick it from. So Mike Zimmer runs the ball right up in the middle, calls timeout, the ball is in between the hashes, just where the rookie kicker wants it. And then he goes wide right in overtime, just like he went wide right earlier in overtime, just like he went wide right in the first half. So, you know, never a bad thing to go to Lambeau and not lose, but, man, that was one that the Vikings are going to be kicking themselves over for a long time because of the way they lost, not even lost, because of the way they tied that.
The way they didn't win the game. And right. I'm in complete agreement with you. Kirk Cousins outplayed Aaron Rodgers. You don't usually say that often, that an opposing quarterback outplays Aaron Rodgers, and he did today. Even if Rodgers was only on one leg, doesn't matter. Cousins was the better of two QBs. But I think the Vikings got a major advantage in the game in that it never even should have gotten to overtime. I know you saw it because you were there. You probably seen a replay of it again as well. The roughing the passer call on Clay Matthews, to me, was a joke. How he possibly could have touched the quarterback in any more safe way while trying to play the game of football and have it be called a roughing the passer penalty just boggles my mind. That negated a Kirk Cousins interception, and chances are Packers are going to be able to run out the clock. So Cousins wouldn't have even have gotten the chance to go down the field and score that game-tying touchdown and convert the two-point conversion. He did, and it was great, and I give him credit for it. But did anybody talk about that in the Viking locker room after that? Yeah, they kind of got a break on that call, or did they all just rush to the official's defense that, of course, it was roughing the passer?
I mean, both locker rooms were heated about calls. And this, you know, we're almost to the point where I think the NFL needs to come in and either clarify what they're doing or even change the rules a bit. And the ref even said afterward that this wasn't a part of the new rule where you put your body weight into the guy. This wasn't helmet to helmet. He said it was just an old-fashioned late hit. Even Kirk Cousins afterward said, you know, hey, I'm a quarterback. I like that we're trying to protect quarterbacks. But that's a call that if I get that same hit a couple years ago, I don't think that's going to get called. is getting called because that's the way the game is going. But Mike Zimmer, the Vikings coach, was even furious about similar calls that happened earlier in the game. He basically said, we're at the point now where if you're a defender, you have about a strike zone size target where you can hit a guy. It's not any lower than that. It's kind of waist to shoulders, and that's your only option. And then after you do that, if you can only hit him there, then you can't even fall on the guy. So Mike Zimmer was upset about it. Mike McCarthy was upset about it. Kirk Cousins even admitted that it probably is not a call that was being made a couple of years ago. And yet here we are, you know, in today's NFL where those kind of calls that were not happening a couple of years ago are now helping decide games.
Right.
So I think we're close to the point where the NFL needs to do something.
We're talking to Chad Graff. He covers the Vikings for The Athletic. He joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, you certainly touched on the two Daniel Carson missed field goals in overtime, missed one earlier in the game, so 0-for-3 on field goals attempts today. You also correctly pointed out that he's a draft pick, and they took him in the draft maybe higher than anybody else would have ranked him. I remember leading up to the draft, having draft gurus on saying no quarterback really deserves to be drafted this year, and the Vikings did. The NFL has long been known for a league of Janet Jackson mentality when it comes to kickers of what have you done for me lately. You have a god-awful day like he had, and kickers are brought in immediately for tryouts to see if you go in another direction. Carson's on a rookie contract. Wouldn't be that big a deal to move on to a new kicker, but they did invest a draft pick in him. Will there be tryouts for a new kicker in Minnesota this week, do you think?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they at least don't put in a call to Dan Bailey. And Dan Bailey, the free agent, veteran kicker, has had other opportunities and has said no. He said he's looking for the right opportunity, and the Vikings might offer that for him. They're a good team that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations, and that might be what he's waiting for. So even though the Vikings chose Daniel Carlson, it won't surprise me if they're working out other people. But to me, you got to even circle back before this, and this is one of the biggest questions that I have for the Vikings entering the season. This is a team that thinks its Super Bowl window is open since they got Kirk Cousins. They think they're a real Super Bowl contender. And yet this franchise that has been cursed by kickers about as much as any, going back to Anderson in 98, Blair Walsh missing the 27-yard chip shot against the Seahawks. This franchise had Kai Forbath, who, you know, wasn't anything special, but he was accurate. He didn't have a huge leg. And yet they said, with as good as we are, with all the expectations that we have, we're going to roll into this season with a rookie quarterback, a rookie kicker who we know nothing about. So it's really staggering to me that they ever made the draft choice in the first place, because while, you know, Daniel Carlson has a big leg, it's not like their old kicker, Kai Forbath, was bad. They just decided to go upgrade, and they decided to risk some massive expectations on a rookie kicker, and it came back to bite them today.
And the reason why I'm specifically asking about this week is Vikings at 1-1, they can 1-0-1, they can live with that. In that division, specifically with the fact that the game was played in Green Bay, you get your shot at the pack at the end of the season in your house. Looking at the following, the next couple of games on the sked, Buffalo coming to town next week. Good work. Good luck to the Bills on that one. But then the week after that, at L.A. to take on the Rams, two primetime Super Bowl contenders on a Thursday night, so it's a short week. If you're going to make a change, you probably want to make it before this week's game, right? Because you don't want to make that kind of a change with a short week and a Thursday game coming up, as big a Thursday game as it is against the Rams in L.A.
Exactly right. And that's part of why I do think that they'll call Dan Bailey. Maybe they even go back to Forbath. But if you don't trust your kicker, then what use is it? So it won't surprise me. And then, you know, you mentioned the schedule. They play three of the four best NFC teams, the teams that they're going to be competing with in this stretch. Obviously, they have the Bills, which you should be able to pencil in a win against at home with as bad as they have looked. But then after that, you mentioned going to L.A. Well, then even after that one, they go to Philadelphia for an NFC championship game rematch. So they're getting the meat of the NFC in this stretch, and they need to be able to trust their kicker. And right now, it's very clear they're not going to be able to trust the rookie that they have.
The Vikings didn't run the ball much today. They didn't really have to run the ball much. They did put up 29 points, which should have been enough to win. Devin Cook, not as big a game as he had the week previous. but again, was a little bit of a factor in the passing game. Is the Cook-Murray combo worked to the liking of the offensive coordinator so far? The new guy there, John DeFilippo, is he happy with his two-man, two-headed rushing monster?
The running backs, I think, have been fine. The problem is the Vikings, you know, if there was another area that they didn't fully address entering this season with massive expectations, it was the offensive line. So their offensive line is pretty average. I think that's, you know, safe to say that they might even be average at best. They can pass block okay, and they have great wide receivers so that Kirk Cousins can drop back and get the ball out pretty quickly, and they don't have to worry too much about that. But they have shown that they are not a good run-blocking team. Dalvin Cook is a very good running back. Latavius Murray is a very good backup running back. And yet they have almost no holes. Almost all of their yards come after contact. So the Vikings, I think, are going to be a pretty good passing team. They're going to be great on defense. But they're having a hard time establishing the run. And so far, that has all started up front for them on the offensive line.
One last thing on the defense. Bend but not break today. Packers moved the ball up and down the field, but they kept them out of the end zone. Had to settle for a bunch of Mason Crosby field goals. Defense coordinator going to be okay with the effort on defense against a one-legged Mr. Rodgers today?
Right. Normally, you're happy if you limit Aaron Rodgers to what they limited him to today. However, you know, the Vikings defense is the heart and soul of that team. It was number one in both points and yards against a year ago. They really expect them to carry the team in a lot of ways and every now and then rely on Kirk Cousins. Today it was the opposite. They need more from their defense. They were out of place a few times and gave up some big yards. And on the one hand, you might say, you know, that's what you get when you play Aaron Rodgers. But the Vikings have such high expectations for their defense that they're not going to be thrilled, and I think that they'll be pleased that they have Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills coming up next after this one.
Chad, good stuff. We appreciate you hopping on board. Drive safely on the way home. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.